Hey, everybody, quick announcement. We're doing a second CMP study. Starting May 6th, it's a total win-win. You get to come into League if you qualify for the study, go through the first 8 weeks of League, which we call the 8-week parenting pivot. It's this incredible deep dive of implementing Connect Method parenting. And we get to follow your progress to show the impact Connect Method parenting is having on parents who implement it in their home. So it's a total win-win. All you've got to do is apply for the study before May 6th, because that's when it closes, because that's when we're starting it. There's a link in the show notes. So you just click that link, answer some questions. If you pre-qualify, we'll reach out to you, confirm that it's a good fit, and then we'll be off to the races. So if you've been waiting for an opportunity to jump into League, but you've been hesitant for whatever reason, see this as your sign. It's your time to jump in. I would be so grateful, because my mission is to get CMP out to more people. And part of that process is collecting statistical data showing how it works for people in their home in real situations. So it would be such a blessing for me if you feel inspired to participate in the study. And it would be such a win for you, because you will be able to have access to the tools to shift from corrective to connective parenting. Now, this is only available until May 6th, so jump on it while you can. And if you're not interested in participating in the study, but you would like to start implementing Connect Method parenting, you want that assistance to guarantee you success, League is open for general traditional sign up as well. So you can sign up that way as well. You don't have to participate in the study, but both will close May 6th. So whether you are entering the traditional way or through the study, May 6th is the deadline, and we're not going to reopen until July or August for another round of League. I don't know if we're going to do another CMP study. We'll just have to wait and see. So now is the perfect time to join. And I just wanted to let everybody who's listening to the podcast know about this opportunity, so that you don't go 2 more months and not have the help that you need. And real quick, before we get to the episode, I thought it'd be really fun to share some thoughts from people who just completed this study.
I just can never express how great this has been and how thankful I am. It's been everything. It's been so good.
Like, are we only 2 weeks in? It's like night and day already. There's just been this total shift.
I feel like our hearts are like so connected. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I really, really see the change.
So fun. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you're ready to create a change in your parenting, you're ready to go from corrective to connective parenting, I would love for you to come participate in the study, or you can come in traditionally, but you got to get your application in before May 6th, because that's when we're closing the doors. And the results, by the way, were so incredible from the first study. I am going to do a whole podcast episode about it to let you know what happens when we implement Connect Method parenting, now that we have the data to support that. But we want a bigger base to pull from, so that we have hundreds and hundreds of moms that have gone through this study, maybe even thousands. So if you are feeling inclined, come join us in the study. And if you have any questions, reach out to us at hello@connectmethodparenting.com, and we'll get back to you. All right, on with the show. If you're hoping you can keep your kids from having them, forget about it. They're going to have traumas. It's part of human development. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast, where correction is out, connection is in, and your kids want to listen to you. I'm Andy Martineau, creator of Connect Method Parenting, here to help you stay calm, confident, and connected no matter what. Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about vulnerability and victimhood. Are you so excited? You should be. It's going to help your parenting a lot. But first, before we dive in, thank you everybody who's been listening. I'm so grateful for you. If you have questions or comments, topics you'd like us to cover, head over to the YouTube page. All right, let's get to it. Victim mentality. It is sneaky. It is unconscious. And it doesn't necessarily manifest as this overt victimhood. It influences us in a big way, though. And it can change the way we perceive and navigate our lives. It can affect even the strongest, most capable, most independent people. So it gets all of us, and just recognizing it's a thing is going to be a positive first step in letting it go. Now, on the contrast, on the other side, vulnerability, openness, ownership, but specifically the word vulnerability and openness, I would say, tend to get misunderstood as weakness, but it's actually a tremendous source of strength and growth. When you are able to be vulnerable and open and not believe what other people say about you, you can create whatever you want. You will become a connected parent, because you will not be activated in a negative way, meaning your nervous system will not be going into fight or flight mode as frequently if you are aware of the traps of victimhood and you're willing to step into vulnerability and openness. It takes courage to embrace vulnerability and openness and to explore the depths of our emotions, to explore the truth of what other people are saying, to look beyond the behavior of our children. We want to do this because it will create meaningful, fulfilling lives. Victim mentality, it's going to seep into our parenting and influence how we raise our children if we're not careful. It can manifest as blaming external factors or situations outside of us for our parenting challenges. So an example of this might look like us blaming our lack of time for not being able to have good quality moments with our kids and finding lots of excuses for why we don't have the relationships we want with our kids. Recognizing this mindset allows us to take full ownership of our choices and stop making excuses. On the other hand, embracing vulnerability and openness and having ownership in our parenting journey, it's going to foster deeper connections with our kids. We're not going to be blaming or coming up with excuses why things aren't working. It really means acknowledging our imperfections and being open to growth, really seeing everything as an opportunity for growth. When we're willing to have difficult conversations with people, admit our mistakes, feel our emotions, and be safe doing all of that, even though it might expose some of our flaws or our weaknesses, we can create whatever we want. We can stay calm and connected no matter what shenanigans our kids are doing. Vulnerability, openness, ownership, it's not about avoiding challenges or shielding ourselves from the ups and downs of lives or our kids' tantrums. It's about becoming so resilient and so strong and so mature in our emotional well-being that nothing our kids do will throw us for a loop. And the cool thing about this is when we are modeling this and actively nurturing this inside of ourselves, our kids see that and it models it for them, and we are more capable to help them. So as parents, we're going to play a vital role in helping our children create this healthy mindset. The victim mentality can often be elusive. It can creep into our lives without us even realizing it. So that's why throughout this podcast today, I'm going to give lots of examples so you can see how you might be missing it in broad daylight. I do also want to acknowledge that for a lot of us, I would say all humans, whether it's a big trauma or a little trauma, and when I say that, capital T trauma, lowercase t trauma, there are different levels of intensity of traumas, but our nervous system will create a trauma. You could call it a trigger, program, a belief in our subconscious brain to try to protect us from a perceived danger. One of the ways our nervous system tries to protect us against dangerous situations is to perceive ourselves as the victim. When our body gets in to a situation that for whatever reason feels dangerous to our nervous system, it is going to label that as something to be careful of, to protect ourselves against. And you could classify that as a trauma. So we all have them. If you're hoping you can keep your kids from having them, forget about it. They're going to have traumas. It's part of human development. And then we work through them and move forward. So everyone is going to have a time where you have felt like a victim. A lot of these stem from our childhood, and this is normal. Recognizing that this is normal, it happens, it's our nervous system's way to protect us, is going to help us not make it personal, not feel bad about it. We are going to have situations because of our nervous system considering something as a dangerous situation or trauma, us feeling like a victim to it, that will create triggers or ways that our body is trying to protect ourselves from the perceived danger. This could look like defensiveness, blaming, all of these things, not being patient. Those are attributes or behaviors that are associated with us when we're in victimhood. So this is what all of us are dealing with. I've had lots of conversations with parents where they feel embarrassed that they have these triggers. And as soon as we can start to realize there's no reason to be embarrassed for a trigger we have, for maybe our tendency to yell or be impatient or overreact about something that consciously we know is going over the top about it. Don't beat yourself up over any of that, because your nervous system needs to feel safe to calm down and renegotiate that situation so we can let it go. And when you're beating yourself up and you're going into really the, you are becoming the perpetrator. You're the villain and the victim, because you're beating yourself up, which is the villain, and you're the victim of that abuse. And so even if it's this mental dialogue you have that I shouldn't be in victim mode, or I shouldn't overreact like that, that is not going to help the healing process. We all go into victim mode. We all want to step more strongly into this vulnerable, strong ownership, openness mode. And it's a process for all of us. But recognizing it's a thing is going to help us. Blame is a common characteristic of victim mentality. We blame our kids for the frustration we're having. They didn't pick up their messes. I've been totally guilty of this, where I think the problem is outside of me with the kids. If they would just start behaving better, my life would be better. That's a blame mentality. We're blaming our problems on someone else. We get stuck in this blame game. So if you find yourself complaining a lot, this is a trait of being in victimhood. It's a sign that, ooh, I'm dropping into victimhood. It's not a problem. I'm telling you this so you can have little beacons that alert you to, oh, this is happening. Do I want to course correct? This is why I want you to see blame as something that you want to pivot out of. And the signs are other people are the cause of your emotional state or your frustration that you're feeling. You're stuck. You can't make progress. It's because of other people. So if you were overwhelmed, let's say because your child was really challenging you with their behavior, and you started saying things like, it's just so difficult. My child just difficult. If they would just clean up their room, or if they would be more considerate, then things would be better. These statements reflect victim mentality. So shifting that responsibility away from ourselves, victim mentality, shifting it towards ourselves, ownership, openness, vulnerability. So defensiveness is another one. It often accompanies victim mentality. So if our kids are, let's say, pushing back because we say, all right, guys, time for homework. And they're like, no, I want to go play. You're so mean. My friends' moms don't do this. And you can feel yourself getting defensive. You're feeling victimized or attacked. Realizing this is going to help you shift out of it. Defense is the first act of war, as Byron Katie says. I love that, because victim mentality prevents us from engaging in open and constructive dialogue with ourselves or our kids. So we want to notice it. Vulnerability does not equate to weakness. Like I was saying before, I just want to drill this back. You will not be in a weaker position if you are vulnerable and open. In fact, you will be more capable. Sometimes when I teach parents this, they get worried. They're like, if I'm open and I listen to them and I don't fight back, they're just going to take advantage of me. The opposite is true. When you're open and listen, and you're able to stay emotionally grounded and not get triggered, you are in such a better place to help your child navigate the situation. So it's crucial to understand that vulnerability does not equate to weakness or lack of strength. We might be stuck in this. They might think it's like the diet mentality. It's just a faulty framework that we've picked up along the way. So diet mentality was this idea that I've got to have this rigid and strict way of eating to get weight loss. Or perfectionistic mentality is I've got to get everything perfect or I can't even try. Those are not helpful mentalities. Victim mentality is the same way. It's created by our nervous system in an attempt to keep us safe and protect us. However, when we're in a calm nervous system state, and we're not triggered, we can see that this is not helping us. Our job is to see when we fall into victim mentality, calm our nervous system down so that we can create an open mentality, an honest mentality, a mentality of ownership and vulnerability. One of the key signs of victim mentality is complaining. This is another thing we do. We find ourselves constantly complaining and playing the role of victim. It's this clear indication that we have adopted the victim mindset, at least for the moment. So if you find yourself complaining, If you say, my child never listens, or they're always giving me a hard time, we're focusing on the negative aspects. We're putting blame on the kids or on the house. When we are creating a villain, so to speak, we are also playing the role of the perpetual victim, and it hinders our ability to find effective solutions. When we're trapped in victim mentality, we tend to view ourselves as the victim of our own story. So we're interpreting everyday situations as deliberate actions against us. So if our teen only is talking to us when they need money, we're thinking, they don't even care about me. They're so inconsiderate. And in reality, it could be that they have frustrations with friends, or they're feeling terrible about their lack of progress. There could be so many other things they're struggling with that have nothing to do with us. So even though most likely the reason he's ignoring you has nothing to do with you, when we are in this complaining victim mode, everything has personal meaning. It's always, they're doing this on purpose. So it's crucial to recognize this distortions in our thinking. So personal example, many years ago, I was doing my dishes and I looked out the window and I saw two of my friends at the park and they hadn't called me. I was so hurt. I was really hurt because we did a lot of stuff together and I was really surprised. So I sat there for a while. I totally made it about me. I immediately jumped to the conclusion that they were intentionally excluding me. Why wouldn't they just text me or walk to my door? And I framed it as an attack against me. I perpetuated the victim mentality within myself. So instead of keeping it neutral, being able to be open to the possibility that they simply didn't want to hang out with me at the park that day, and that was okay, and that it had nothing to do with me. Maybe they were discussing something that was very personal and they didn't want other people involved. There were so many possibilities that I could have gone towards instead of personal attack. It took me a while. I sat there and I really was hurt. And I want to emphasize this: as you are feeling the emotions that come up, being in a victim mode from time to time is natural. All of us have done it. It's our nervous system's way to protect us. We just don't want to be fooled by it anymore or think it's helpful. But nonetheless, we're going to have moments where we feel the intensity of it. And this was a moment for me where I felt the intensity of it. So I let myself be hurt and frustrated and angry. And I sat with myself and I just let that come up. Let myself feel it all the way through. I had nothing I could do other than just feel it. And then I allowed my brain to calm down because I wasn't fighting anymore. I was just sad. And there's this trip that we take emotionally from mad to sad, where we go from resisting the situation, which is the victim mode. I'm resisting it. Why is this happening? They're doing this to me. To surrendering to the situation. And just feeling sad, but not being victimized anymore, realizing there's nothing I can do to change this. And I'm just going to let it be. And I'm going to let this make me stronger. And that's the journey I was able to go. That's the journey I want all of us to be able to go as we navigate out of victimhood, because it's really powerful. When we can pause and get present, which is the first step in changing our mindset, and Become Active Method Parenting is slowing down and gaining awareness, then we can become the watcher of our experience. And we can see how we have taken the locus of control and put it in someone else. In this case, in my two friends sitting across the street on the park, instead of keeping it inside of me. And I noticed that and I surrendered and I let myself feel it and I let myself feel all the feelings and get emotional. And then I decided to say to my own nervous system, I sometimes talk to my nervous system, and I said, thank you, nervous system. Sometimes I'll say body or just thank you for trying to protect me and thinking we needed to defend ourselves against my friends going to the park without me. But I don't believe that anymore. I don't need to be the victim of this. This is not anything I'm believing anymore. I was able to explore a different perspective and engage in this open dialogue with myself and transition out of it. And this is one of the ways we can get out of victim mentality, is to realize that our nervous system is trying to protect us. We're going to slip into it. We notice the thoughts. We notice when we're blaming, when we're complaining, when we're getting defensive, and we don't play the game anymore. We don't stay stuck. So let's say you're child decided to lie to you about their homework. They're like, yeah, I'm done, mom. And they went out and played. And then you went and checked their homework and they hadn't done anything. The victim mentality would be us stepping into thinking they had done this intentionally. They're deceiving us. We're frustrated because they're not telling the truth. Versus when we step into ownership and vulnerability, it's okay, let me consider why they might have lied to me, why they decided to go play when they knew their homework wasn't done, what might be happening inside of them. Let me believe they're doing their best right now. Let me keep my nervous system calm and not activated because this has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with something going on with them. And the best way I can figure out what's going on for them is by me staying calm and connected and in a place of openness, vulnerability, and ownership. There might be some things that I need to confront with myself of how I've contributed to him thinking lying was the solution. I want to look at those things. I want to look at what's going on in his life. I want to be able to explore it all. And shifting out of victimhood, blaming, shaming, shouldn't happen, to this is fine, it happened. Information, let's move forward. That's ownership. That's vulnerability. That is when we get to create incredible connection. A lot of us, we just like this victim mentality. I wouldn't say we like it, like we crave it, but it's something we become so familiar with that it's become part of who we are. So we fall into the victim mindset. We think that we need to have someone else be responsible for our challenges. It's all subconscious. So another story, I'm just going to lay all my stuff out there. When COVID hit, my girls started making cookie dough almost every day. And I just decided I'm eating cookie dough every day. I'm going to sit on the couch and watch shows with them and play games. We didn't go out very many places. It was in some ways a really beautiful time as far as family connection. However, my body took a toll. I started gaining weight and I definitely wasn't as in shape. And I had a lot of excuses. I was in a very victim mindset around it. It was because it was COVID and I couldn't go out and the girls were eating cookie dough and I was bored and I wanted to eat cookie dough with them. It was a bonding experience. I had all my reasons. Once COVID was over, I did not like the number on the scale. And more even than that, I didn't like my lack of commitment to my physical health. Eventually, it took me a while because I floundered in the victimhood for a while. But eventually I hired a health coach. I was inspired because my younger sister started working with a health coach and making mad progress on her health. And I thought, I want that for me too. I'm going to stop being a victim. So I hired the same health coach and he laid everything out for me I could possibly want. And 4 months later, I'm on a call with him and I catch myself telling him all of the reasons this program is not working for me. I hadn't really lost any weight, but I also hadn't followed any of his plans. I wasn't exercising like he asked me to consistently. I wasn't addressing my mindset. I wasn't fixing my food. And I remember saying, I'm so mad. This isn't working for me. I don't think it's going to work. And that's when he helped me see what a victim I was being, because I really hadn't changed anything. I was living from this place of entitlement, which we get in victimhood too, of this should change. And I don't know who should do it, but it should change right now because I need this to change. But I'm not doing the work because somebody else, it's somebody else's fault. I just need to take some supplements for my hormones or whatever. I have bought those silly weight loss pills before. And it's just another way of trying to shortcut stepping into honesty and openness and vulnerability and ownership. This call I had with him about 4 months in was when I realized, oh, I'm being a victim. It took me 4 months in the program and now I'm doing it. I'm in the middle of it and it feels so good. And it's really fun to see my brain have some little tantrums around this new area that I haven't worked on very hard for a while. I've worked really hard with parenting. I've worked really hard with my relationship with my husband. I've worked really hard in a lot of areas of my life, but I haven't worked hard in fitness for a long time. And so it's a new place for my brain to grow and develop. So if you are sitting here thinking, Andy, I am so on top of it with my career, I don't go into victimhood. Yeah, because you practiced it there intentionally. But with parenting, it might still be a struggle. For a lot of people, it's very easy to blame the kids' behavior, to blame the state of the house, to blame a lot of things for why things aren't working out. And I'm challenging you today. We're going to stop that, right? We're going to stop that. Say, I will stop it, because I want you to not be stuck. And it's within your power to not be stuck. Imagine you went to a family party and somebody said something unkind about one of your kids' behavior. A lot of moms who come in and start working with me, they're petrified about getting negative comments from other people about their kids' behavior. So let's just say that that's what happens. And you really are hurt and you start defending and you can feel yourself going into victimhood. If you're new to Connect Method Parenting, I have a great way for you to get started. I created a free course that covers some of the biggest challenges parents are facing and how Connect Method Parenting solves them. In an hour, we're going to talk about why parenting is so hard, how to get your kids to want to listen to you, how to stop yelling and losing your cool and become that calm, confident, connected parent for good. It's the fastest way to get started using connection as your go-to tool for influencing and impacting your kids. Go to cmp.works/course to get instant access today. You might want to talk to your partner and say, oh my gosh, this person is so rude. Or you might be coming down really hard on yourself and start victimizing yourself, beating yourself up where you're the victim and the perpetrator all at once, or the victim and the villain all at once. That would be pretty typical. However, let's contrast that with what that would look like if you stepped into a state of open vulnerability where you were really owning yourself. You could consciously choose to not turn control over to that other person. This is extreme openness and ownership. It sounds like that other person probably didn't have your best interest in mind, so we don't want to let them influence how we feel. I call this giving them control over your emotional state. You could acknowledge what they said. Maybe you could say, oh, that's super interesting, or thanks for sharing, or thank you, or whatever variation, just a very simple acknowledgement. Maybe what they said, there's truth in it. Maybe there's nothing that's truthful about what they said, but you don't need to go in with it around this topic with them right there, because that doesn't serve either of you. You can decide, I'm not going to start spinning on that and let what he says consume me for the rest of the night. I'm not going to let what he just said dictate how I feel, and just let it go. A few years ago, I posted something on Facebook about parenting, and it was something about, I need to go back and find the exact post, but it was something about how punitive consequences don't work. And a friend of mine, I thought we were dear friends. Actually, I think in her mind, she was being a dear friend by commenting like this. Anyway, she started posting really what I would have said at the time were rude and unkind things. And it was above and beyond, I don't agree with you. It was questioning who I was. It was saying, if you don't believe in punishments and you don't believe in God, it was really crazy. And the post ended up getting 200 or 300 comments because there was so much going on about this conversation of consequences and rewards, which I know there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. So it was cool in a lot of ways. But she started DMing me and it got really strange. Now, you might think because this was so far out in left field that it would be easy to just dismiss it. But here's the problem. For years, my worst fear had been getting attacked on social media about something I posted. And so I had been preparing for this terrible threat for years. I had been telling my nervous system, if someone starts becoming a bully on social media, this is a big problem. We need to protect ourselves. And so when it happened, my nervous system was ready, up in arms. And it took me a good 48 hours to really convince my nervous system that this was not a life-threatening event. I asked for extra coaching with my one-on-one coach at the time, spent hours and hours and hours processing with my poor husband, went on walks, meditated, prayed, all the things I could think of to get myself to calm down. And eventually I did. And I realized, oh, I have put the locus of control out here instead of in here. And I was able to see how she was truly, from her point of view, trying to help out. And I was able to DM her and say, thank you for sharing your opinions with me. I understand that you are trying to help and that this is your way of doing it. And I really believe we have the same core intention. We want the same things out of life. And I'm wishing you all the best. And that's truly how I felt when I shared it with my husband. And my husband said, are you sure? Do you really feel that? And I was really in a place where I had stepped into openness and vulnerability and ownership. And I did. I felt that. I didn't have any hard feelings. I truly felt peaceful about it. And I've seen her since, and it's been fine. And I don't need to defend myself against her, even though for a period of time, my nervous system thought it was a level 3 attack, or whatever you call the, you know what I'm saying? A big, huge, fat attack. That's what it thought. So the key to avoiding victim mentality is being open, being vulnerable, realizing nobody can say anything to us that will damage us. We're whole, complete, worthy. And whatever comes out of their mouth, that just has to do with them, not us. And the reason I know that we're whole and complete and worthy is because I believe that just by being born here, we are full of worth. We don't need to earn our worth or our lovability. When I was trying to get myself grounded with the park situation, one of the things I did was listen to this book called Lovability. I highly recommend it. It's a really great book that brings home over and over again about how we are lovable and worthy, and it calms that nervous system down and provides so much safety. When I teach parents about vulnerability, about being open, about not fighting back or getting defensive, a lot of them will say, I'm worried if I do that, I will lose control. They will just think it's okay to talk back or to not do their homework. And that's not what I'm saying. And actually, the opposite is true. The more that you stay in a place of openness, vulnerability, and ownership, the more impact and power you'll have in conversations with your kids, because you're not going to be emotionally triggered. You're not going to get sucked into their drama. You're going to be able to respectfully hear them and honestly respect who you're being in that moment and set a limit that is powerful. So I believe it's the absolute opposite, that it is an act of personal empowerment when we are able to stay calm, confident, and capable in any moment. And that's the opposite of a doormat. When we choose not to allow someone's words to devastate us, we retain our inner power and strength. It's about acknowledging their opinions and actions and how they reflect them, not us. So if our kid's giving us a big attitude when we say TV needs to be turned off, instead of reacting with defensiveness, instead of getting stuck in the tug of war and becoming a victim to their complaining, by calmly acknowledging their opinion and reminding ourselves that it's simply their opinion, it's totally fine they don't want the TV to turn off, and we get to stay in our place of emotional stability and set that limit. Responding in this way shifts the whole experience, and it prevents us from descending into victimhood. We can set a connective limit and stay calm and confident no matter what. This is everything. Our emotional reactions are influenced by whether or not we believe the comments or opinions being shared with us or directed towards us. When someone makes a comment that aligns with our own securities or self-doubts, it's going to have a stronger impact on our emotional state. Recognizing this connection allows us to navigate situations with a lot more awareness and resilience. So let's say you're walking down the street, you're sporting your backpack, and someone comes up to you, point blank, looks you in the eyes and says, I hate your purse. It's terrible. But you aren't wearing a purse. You're wearing a backpack. There would be no truth to what they were saying. And most likely, you wouldn't be deeply affected or take it personally because you literally don't have a purse. You're wearing a backpack. This is because there is no alignment to insecurities or self-doubt. It's not like you're wearing a purse and you're a little nervous, you're not sure you like it, and somebody comes up to you and says, I hate that purse. Then you might get sucked into their comment because you already were conflicted about the purse, you weren't sure. But if you're wearing a backpack and someone says, I hate your purse, there's this disconnect. There's nothing about what they're saying that resonates with your reality. And so that comment is not going to have an impact on you. I want to call this out because understanding this distinction helps you maintain your emotional well-being and keeps you from slipping into victimhood. Because if someone said, I hate your taste in music, or you're a terrible cook, or you're no good at running, and you felt yourself getting defensive, I want you to realize, oh, that's because there's part of me that believes them, or I have a self-doubt about that. So if your child says to you, I hate you, mom, I want you to be vulnerable and not feel like you have to defend yourself. Do some introspection and honestly look at how I might be contributing to this relationship not being great, which is really good. We all always are contributing to the results we're getting in our life in some way. So we want to be honest and reflect on that, but we don't want to feel like we have to prove to them that, no, I have been doing everything I possibly could to make this relationship great. If we go into defensive mode and we need to defend against their comment, it's because there's part of us that believes it's true. But when we are defending against their comment, we're not going to see the truth. We're not going to be able to discover or grow. So if you're getting defensive, that means there's something to explore. That means there's some part of you that is doubting yourself and you want to go in there and inspect. Don't try to prove that it's not true. If you have to prove that it's not true, you don't totally believe it yourself. Many years ago, I had someone sit me down in a public place and for 2 or 3 hours tell me all of the things that they didn't like about me, that I had done wrong, and I was shocked. I was thrown off guard and I fell into victimhood. She sat across the table for me and named all of these things. I could feel myself getting defensive. I thought, how could she do this to me? What is she saying? Why is she saying these things? She's so mean. And I went from defensive to blaming her. I was self-loathing. I would start believing the truth of what she was saying. I would get mad at her, upset, judged her for being unkind, on and on, this emotional roller coaster, as you can imagine, for 2 hours. And I was trying to be on my best behavior because we were in a public place, but inside I was just being torn up. My nervous system felt attacked. And the only way out of it that I felt was possible at the moment was to protect myself and to prove to her how wrong she was. That did not work. When we are in victimhood and we're trying to prove to someone, hey, this is not right. First of all, we're needing to defend something that we think might be true about ourselves. So there's that aspect. But also that person is in victimhood too, and they're blaming us for their problems. We are not going to be able to disprove their theories by giving them evidence in the contrary. Their brain's just not going to accept it. So this is where I was. After the fact, not in the moment, it was very difficult in the moment, but after the fact, I started asking myself why what she was saying was bothering me so much. If it wasn't true, why was it bothering me so much? Or if I thought it was true, what could I do to improve that part of me? A few days later, I really dove into this question of how could this be true? Where is the truth in what she's seen? And I looked through the list of things she told me about. And now that my nervous system was calm, I could find truth in almost everything she said. It wasn't that I believed everything she said was true at face value, but I could see how she thought that about me. And I could see how there was part of me that perhaps was showing up that way. Because if someone says you're unkind, you can probably find times where you've been unkind. Or if someone says you're bossy, you could probably find times where you were bossy and there was truth in that. So rather than dismissing what she'd said entirely, I was able to objectively evaluate its validity and use it as an opportunity for personal growth. And it was the moment I finally said to myself, what if it's okay if it's all true? What could I learn from that? How could I become a better person? What if I didn't have to defend myself? What if this was the best learning opportunity ever? Then I was able to start changing myself. I had a lot of things that needed to change and shift. And I had a lot of things that I loved about myself. And I grew so much through this experience. Even though it was hard, it grew me up so much. And I realized the power of not fighting, of not needing to prove myself, of not needing to show I was worthy or kind. So when we don't need to protect ourselves and when we can still be safe, that's when things start to shift. The reality is none of us are perfect humans. I wasn't a perfect human. Some of the things she said were really revealing to me. She wasn't a perfect human. And she had her right to her opinion of me. And you know what? I have my right to my opinion of me. So I could say that's all true without making it mean anything terrible about me. And I could see how she could believe that from her point of view and how that could all be true from her point of view. And I could honor her without needing to push back, get defensive, or go into victim mode. So embracing our imperfections and accepting ourselves fully is part of stepping into openness and ownership and our own power so that we can create something amazing for ourselves, which allows us to create something amazing with our kids. When we acknowledge and accept our flaws, nothing can be used against us because we already know our own truth. True intimacy lies in our ability to hear other people's feedback and opinions without defensiveness. When we can sit with them, when we can be with them and genuinely listen to their thoughts, hear their emotions, and not need to defend ourselves, that is where we truly begin to have extreme ownership for our life, extreme openness and vulnerability. Blame is a mechanism we often use to discharge our pain and discomfort instead of addressing it and processing it. When we are open to experiencing all of the emotions that come up for us, we unlock the true power and are able to overcome any limitations of the victim mentality. Being willing to feel any emotion, it's a game changer. No emotion is too scary or overwhelming if we can approach it with courage. It's about confronting our fears and not trying to avoid discomfort, not trying to make it go away by blaming someone else or defending ourselves. In our parenting journey, it's essential to identify areas where we may be avoiding emotions. Are there conversations we're unwilling to have because we fear the emotions that might come up? And if that's so, why? Who am I blaming? What am I afraid of? By embracing vulnerability and openness and engaging in those honest discussions with ourselves and our kids, we are creating space for growth, understanding, and connection. We start by asking ourselves, when I feel sad, am I blaming someone? Am I blaming myself, the kids, my partner? What things am I not doing and why am I avoiding them? Whether it's anger, sadness, or any other emotion, where is my locus of control? Is it inside of me or outside of me? When you do this, you are taking 100% responsibility for your emotions and you are shifting yourself out of victim mentality and into a place of extreme vulnerability, extreme ownership, extreme openness. Allow yourself to fully experience the emotions and explore the underlying thought patterns that have triggered it. By taking ownership of your emotions, you can respond to the situation with empathy and guide yourself and your children out of victim mode and into extreme vulnerability, openness, and ownership mode. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode. This was such a good conversation. We'll talk to you next time. Bye. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, come check out League, my Connect Method parenting coaching program, where we take this material and we apply it using my proven formula. Head over to cmp.works/join.